And welcome to the Taylor Report. Better late than never. This is Phil Taylor, and it's 89.5 FM. Canada Day continuing, and we're going to be speaking to David Heap, I believe, and perhaps someone else. Are you there, David?
Here I am, Phil. Can you hear me?
Yep, you sound fine to me, David. I was saying it's Canada Day. You have been a label I always think of you, Canada Boat Gaza. And
that's us.
So you're doing something I think that Canadians should be very proud of. You are in the Mediterranean, and what are you up to?
So the boats that I described to you before, I think last time I was speaking to you from France, where there's small boats that were taking the river and canals through France. There were also two other boats that came around the Atlantic coast, larger boats, El Auda, the Return, and Freedom, which came around the coast of Spain and Portugal and entered the Mediterranean through Gibraltar. And El Auda, the Return, arrived yesterday in Cagliari in southern Sardinia, so an Italian island in the Mediterranean. And they've been visiting today with supporters here in Cagliari. And they'll be headed to Ajaccio in Corsica next, and then to Naples and Palermo, for where all the boats together, the two that came the river route and the two that came the Atlantic route, will join together and sail towards Gaza later this month.
Yeah.
So it's a very Canadian way to spend Canada Day, as you say.
Yeah.
We're here working for fundamental freedoms that Canadians take for granted, especially the freedom of movement, which is denied to Palestinians every day.
Yeah. I just recently I noticed that the foreign minister met with a Canadian doctor who was in Gaza and trying to bring medical assistance to the demonstrators there and ended up shot. I was impressed that he actually was able to meet with the minister and they showed some interest. I hope that all Canadians will notice that there are people from all over Canada and all over the world actually participating in the Freedom Flotilla. There's a doctor from Newfoundland, a Palestinian descent, I believe, who's part of the story. Who is that?
So Majid Khayshi is a Canadian Palestinian physician who got in touch with our campaign in Newfoundland. And we really have a campaign that goes from coast to coast to coast.
Mm-hmm.
We had an indigenous postal worker trade unionist from Yukon, Ron Rousseau, on earlier, and then this physician from St. John's, Newfoundland, was on from Lisbon to Cadiz. And he was just a lovely contribution to the sailor. Of course, I'm only seeing this from the port side. I do media support like this interview and help our participants connect in different ports as we go through Europe, meeting all kinds of supporters. But on board, we have, as you said, Canadians and people from all around the world. We also, very importantly, because this boat, the flotilla boat that we've been describing, is called Al Auda, the Return, we're emphasizing now, 70 years after the Nakba, the ethnic cleansing of Palestine, the right of return, which is part of the right of freedom of movement, people should be able to leave the country and return to the country that's denied to Palestinians. And, you know, Palestinians have been marching in Gaza, as we said the last time we spoke, and being shot at by snipers, just for demanding this very basic human right of freedom of movement and freedom to return.
Yeah.
So we're very, very proud of the fact that among the participants are people like Majid Khayshi from Newfoundland, so a Canadian-Palestinian, but also a friend I have here with me, Audi Farhat, a Palestinian from Gaza, who worked with us. We talked a few years ago about our Gaza ARC campaign. Audi was our man on the ground in Gaza working with producers, getting together endorsements, but also products to support. After that, and after the 2014 aggression against Gaza by Israel, he was able to get out to Europe, and he studied. He did a degree, a master's degree in the Netherlands, and now he's done his studies, and he's sailing with Al Auda. So I'd like to turn it over to Auni, who's right here, to tell you a little bit what it's like. He was on board with Majid not so long ago.
Well.
Hello.
Hello there. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
When did you join the... You just gone aboard the ship recently, or is it?
I started from Amsterdam.
Wow!
Because I'm resident in the Netherlands, and the Freedom Flotilla boat, the boat Freedom and Al Auda, the Return, they were in Amsterdam, and we had different events and activities were organized by the local groups there. And this, what we do in every stop, we try to bring more attention and to highlight the Israeli locate and to work together with all these local groups, the same we did in Gijon and La Rochelle, France, and now we are here in Cagliari, Sardinia, in Italy.
Mm-hmm. I heard there was a rally there today. There was a rally for the boats?
Yeah. Luckily, we had a nice spot in the marina. It's directly next to the main street. So locals from Sardinia, they came and they showed support. And, they came with music and with the local band next to the boat, Al-Auda, the return. It was beautiful to see and to feel how much support and love for the dirty that we got from the people of Sardinia. And it's the same with every city and port that we visit.
Yeah, I was very impressed that I know that the boats went to Bristol, was it? Brighton.
Brighton, yes.
And two members of parliament made statements, very strong statements, in support of the Freedom Flotilla. As a Palestinian, you must have been pretty heartened by that.
Yeah, actually, I believe in bringing change come with such actions, with taking real practical actions. This is a grassroots movement, and we meet people, we interact with politicians. We having debates with politicians. We visiting city councils. In Gijon, there was a motion from the regional parliament of Asturias, and they did the motion demanding the central government of Spain in Madrid to end the Israeli blockade on Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel that you're doing something meaningful and something influential, and these politicians that you mentioned are one of the people that they're raising their voice and speaking up on behalf of mm-hmm. everyone, not just Palestinians, but humans.
I'm impressed that the... go ahead. Someone will speak. Go ahead.
Sorry, it's David here again. I just wanted to say that the pressure from below, from grassroots organizations, is what moves politicians. So there's a Palestinian solidarity campaign in Brighton who got to those MPs there, a Green MP and a Labour MP, and made it known that people in their constituencies expected them to take a stand. There was another one who didn't. There's another MP, and Labour MP, actually, from the Brighton area who... still with the Labour Friends of Israel, but mm-hmm. lots of MPs in the UK are speaking out. In fact, they've got more freedom of speech than Canadian MPs do. All of the federal parties keep a pretty tight grip on Canadian MPs. So mm-hmm. we should wish that our Canadian MPs have the freedom of speech that UK MPs, or even Tory MPs, even Conservatives and MPs in England are allowed to speak out about Israeli crime. But it's pretty across the board in Canada where federal MPs are all gagged.
Yes.
So that's something people need to take up. Just keep writing to and visiting the MPs in Canada and saying, look, these are war crimes. What's being done to Palestinians everywhere, but especially Palestinians
yes.
in Gaza who are being targeted with snipers in cold blood, this is a war crime and we need to call it by its name. And if
yes.
people in the British Parliament can make that statement, then Canadian politicians should not be afraid to make those statements. They're being cowed and bullied now by the lobby. That mm-hmm. they're not allowed to say it, but they ought to be able to speak the truth.
Yes.
And that's simply the truth of war. These are war crimes against civilians.
Yeah. David, you...
From below, I wanted to mention where Aumi and I were this morning. Cagliari is not a very big port, but there's a university here. And mm-hmm. you're on a university campus there at CIUT. We went to the University of Cagliari this morning.
Uh-huh.
We were supposed to meet with some students, but they said, no, we've gone to reoccupy a student center,
mm-hmm.
which they've been occupying for months, protesting the fact that their university signed agreements with Israeli universities. So they didn't like that. They occupied this. This morning, they were, the police removed them from their occupation, and the students were back before noon. So we went to visit them to show some support, because this is a similar kind of direct action by concerned residents, concerned citizens, concerned students, but they don't just sit back and accept what their university directors or university presidents do. They take action against that. So we visited, what was it called? An autonomous student, that student said it.
Oh, the old student power.
We visited them, and they, of course, were happy to do a shout-out, a video that you'll find on the Freedom Flotilla Facebook page now, Freedom Flotilla Coalition on Facebook, a shout-out from these students who are reoccupying their autonomous student center, self-governed student center on the campus of the University of Cagliari.
So, by the way, if I go to Gaza F Flotilla on Twitter, Gaza Freedom Flotilla, some of these pictures will be there, right?
There's a picture there. That tweet is actually in Italian, but the English translation is on our Facebook page. So the tweet will take you to the Facebook page, and you'll see the English translation and a little video of them explaining that they support human rights for everybody, human rights for Palestinians, and they support the flotilla and they oppose the blockade of Gaza.
Yeah. You know, your
image is there, me and the campus.
Your work reminds me of the Persian proverb that says, "Go and wake up your luck." You go in and out of ports, and you find new friends and people taking a stand because you arrive.
Exactly. It draws out the best in these communities. Meet the like-minded people, a great diversity of people. Here we're in a student collective-run house. In other places, we were in Cadiz. We were guests of the city. The city put us in a municipal hostel. Other places we're welcomed by trade unionists or other people, peace associations who open their homes to us.
And it's the arrival of the boats. The arrival of the boats crystallizes that, right? It's
exactly.
Who knew? I didn't know about all these movements and people until your boat went into their harbor.
Exactly.
We're speaking to David Heap and a colleague there. I'm sorry, boy. His name is again?
Auni Farhat.
Fahad, thank you. In terms of North America, where it is so hard to get a breakthrough, and I think your work is contributing to this eventual breakthrough in getting justice for the Palestinians, you must be impressed or pleased with the election of the Democratic nomination of a young woman, 28 years old, in New York City, in Queens, I think, who spoke out on Gaza. Ms. Ortiz.
Yes. The Democratic primary.
Yes.
Even though the two-party system in the state doesn't actually allow for that broad a spectrum, it's clear when people are given a choice and they have somebody who's willing to speak up for human rights for all and Medicare for all those radical ideas that Americans aren't used to. They'll discover that they've got a constituency that's ready to vote for them. So, I mean, the Medicare for all is something that certainly Canadians can relate to. But all of us should be able to relate to what she said, Ms. Ortiz said, about human rights for all.
Yes.
And that's, as you say, it's a breakthrough when people are given a choice. The thing about, well, particularly in the States, where they're not really given much of a choice, and even in Canada, where I'll say our media, most of the corporate media, unlike CIUT, big
yes.
shout out to the campus radio,
yes.
but most of the corporate media don't really give people the choice of considering human rights for all as a natural option.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to be on shows like yours and reach your listeners and talk about.
Yeah, and it's our duty to talk about it. The community here, and particularly the campus community, is one of many religions and ethnic groups. They're all quite aware, much more aware than the Toronto Star and the Globe and Mail and CBC of what these issues are about. One question. I understand the women have had there was a women's march in Gaza, and they're planning one for tomorrow. Are they aware of your the boats? Are they talking about you in Gaza?
The Freedom Flotilla currently working in cooperation with a few local groups, including We are not members, and you work with the
Union of Agricultural Work Committees, which represents fishers and agriculturalists in Gaza.
Uh-huh.
And when we implemented the Gaza's Ark project 3-4 years ago, we had a group of young people, about 25 young people. They formed the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. It's a youth group, and we're still in contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
They trying to help as much as we can to reach and to outreach the local supporting group. The Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, they are aware and they know about the flotilla, that they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that mostly everyone involved with this discourse, it's like day-to-day
mm-hmm.
talk.
By the way, in terms of, I should ask you, too, they always, I know that the Israeli authorities and others try to suggest that you are somehow contributing to military problems, issues. They like to suggest that you might be bringing weapons. In previous voyages, they had claimed that they thought that you had weapons. But my understanding is one of the ships is going as a ship, as a gift for the fishermen of Gaza. Is that right?
That's right. All four boats, in fact. The two small 9-meter ones coming through the canals will mm-hmm. be in the Mediterranean in a couple of days. And the two larger Atlantic boats, which are 20 meters-ish long, they'll all be gifts to the fishermen, fishers organizations in Gaza, because, of course, their boats get attacked, damaged, destroyed, stolen by the occupation military all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And despite all these attacks and destruction and all of the international flotilla boats that have been stolen, the Israeli military has never been able to find anything dangerous on any of our boats. I mean, they find fishing nets on the fishing boats quite naturally, and they find either the boats themselves, which are a humanitarian gift, or other aid, which is gifts to the Palestinian people on our boats. They've mm-hmm. never found anything dangerous. So this yeah. idea that we're somehow assessing anybody's security is just ludicrous. What they're afraid of, really, is the idea that Palestinians could have the independence to travel freely, run their own economy, and they wouldn't need aid from anybody, right? They could simply be free of the occupation, which would mean a loss of revenue to Israel, because, of course, they make good money off the occupation.
Yeah.
And they would have access to the sea and the sea resources and travel the world and trade the world just like every other coastal country. What a yeah. radical idea. I mean, people
yes.
here in Europe, in Mediterranean Europe, everybody has access to the sea, the Italians, the French, the Spanish, all of the North African countries, they all have access to the sea. The only people in the Mediterranean that don't have access to their own seabed and their own waters are the Palestinians.
Yeah. And, of course, the British and the Americans made a great thing about needing freedom of the sea for themselves, but they don't wish to have it for others. This year is very special, 2018. This has been the most immense action I've ever seen, that is, of the Great March. That must be an inspiration to the people who've joined this the Freedom Flotilla.
Yeah, as I said before, this is the main issue of the main goal of our movement is challenging the Israeli blockade, which is a big elephant in the room. It's main cause of all these crises, all these human rights violations, injustice, oppression has been exposed against humanity, against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole world is turning their back and not taking any action to stop it.
Yeah.
And by doing such actions by tackling and triggering this issue directly, we are threatening Israel, and this that's why they consider us a threat.
Yeah.
We don't have weapons, but we are sailing with hope. We're sailing with humanity. We are sailing to show solidarity and support for the Palestinians in the Gaza, and the Israeli, they don't like it.
I would think that's because, frankly, we have reached a point where the world is actually beginning to notice in a way that it hasn't before. The Freedom Flotilla, what a brilliant and brave idea. Thank you both for talking to us, and we're going to keep following this. We look forward to the final stage of your journey, and we wish you well.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us on your show again, Phil.
Okay. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye. This is Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It's 89.5 FM. We're going to have a little musical break, and we'll come back and talk to a Montreal publisher about Canada Day.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.